Do you live your life rock boat to rock boat? If so, then welcome aboard the Boatcast, the podcast for rock boaters by rock boaters. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Carbon Leaf, the amazingly talented Jesse Humphrey. Welcome.
Thank you.
This is some exciting stuff from podcasters to podcaster. Yes.
That's right. Just couldn't. Dude. I wasn't sick of talking yet. My band is sick of me talking, but I'm not sick of it yet.
I want to compliment you on the room that you're in, your studio. Love the pictures in the back there.
Thank you. Nice. Yeah. This one here is actually a frame that I built. So I built a couple of them. So there's one that you can't really see over here that is, I built that frame. It frames my first single ever that I made. Nice. Called Chemical. And then this one was a beautiful photo taken by the great Kenzie T. I always get her last name wrong, but it's like Tracy or something like that. But she took the photo from behind me at our last show of the year at the National in Richmond, Virginia. So she did that a couple of years ago. That's one of my favorite picks. And then I have the great Dan Mills, who's a singer-songwriter, which is a wonderful singer-songwriter that I play drums for every now and then, who I grew up with. And that's an album cover there. Native Run, Stephen Kellogg. And nice.
Yeah. I got Stephen Kellogg right there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great one. Which tour was that?
That was the Virtual Experience Tour of 2020.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. So, you know, congratulations on the success of your podcast.
Thanks.
For those that are listening.
Really enjoy it.
Thanks, man.
It's called After the Gig. And how did that idea come?
It's funny how it's evolved over the years. So in 2019, I wanted to have a podcast, and it's just something I always wanted to do. So a bunch of friends kind of encouraged me to do it, set it all up. And I was like, oh, it'd be fun to, you know, think about names like the Jesse Humphrey Show. I was like, oh, who the hell knows who Jesse Humphrey is? And then I was like, oh, after the gig, that'd be an interesting thing to talk to other musicians. You know, I'm always around other musicians and we have a great rapport, really good friends with a lot of them. So it'd be fun to like talk, let people be a fly on the wall, maybe in the green room or whatever. And then it kind of developed more into interviews. The longer, you know, the less and less people wanted to hear the same people over and over again. So it just kind of evolved into that thing. And then over the course of the pandemic, it evolved yet again into this like wonderful community of people, because I would do a live stream every week, every Thursday, and I called it Over the Hump. And it was all like these great Carbon Leaf fans and great fans of all the bands of, you know, the members. You know, I've had Scott Terry, I've had all the guys in Red Wanting Blue, and it's a big fan base out in Ohio of After the Gig. So it's like it just kind of morphed into this community thing. And that's kind of where it is now. It's more of a community-based podcast with After the Gig, and the fans are big supporters of it. And, you know, I'm excited to see where it goes next. But right now it's just kind of like, you know, I'm in the trenches working on it, trying to figure it out every day. So that's kind of the deal.
Congratulations. I saw the last episode with Mark. You had just completed getting all of the guys from Red Wanting Blue.
That's right. I kind of had them all on at one point because I was playing a show with Stephen Kellogg at a festival. I think it was like in Wyoming or something. I can't remember exactly where it was, but the Red Wanting Blue guys were on the same bill. We're in the same festival, and we did a podcast on their bus, and just everyone was there. So it was kind of like, they're all on by default, but now I've got them all individually and, you know, let them all know. It's like, I care about what each of you have to say.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it was great. Mark's the best. It's awesome.
Well, you got over that hump of like, you know, after 20, 30, like,
yeah,
you're now over 100, right?
Yeah, that's where it gets hard. That's where it gets hard. Like, because during the pandemic, you know, we wanted to kind of get back into life, and my wife is from Northern Ireland, so we wanted to get back. Yeah, so we wanted to get back to Ireland, do a little bit more traveling. We just had a son, you know, we had a baby boy during the pandemic. So he's 4 now, so things kind of like were on the back burner. It was still important to me, but it just took a little longer. You know, I had to skip a few weeks, and, you know, I skipped months at a time at one point. So, but now I'm at the point where I'm like, oh, it's priority. Like, you know, after the gig, carbon leave
becomes part of the routine, you know?
Yeah. It's become part of the routine. So I think I'm at like, I don't know, 120 now or something like that. Which feels like, you know, it's just so much talking out there in the world.
What's been the biggest, like, the biggest surprise to you about starting a podcast?
The biggest surprise is, like, you know, when you play music and you're on stage in front of people, you have like a connection to the audience and stuff. The biggest surprise to me was how many people would connect with some of the ideas and some of the things we had to say. Like, yeah, you know, a lot of them are fun and silly and whatever, but there are other things that come up in a conversation that, you know, you never really know what's gonna like spark any kind of interest in an audience or somebody that is listening to you, which I was really excited to, like, I get emails all the time about how, you know, a conversation like inspired someone to, like, you know, start their business or keep going with their business or maybe or do something along those lines of music. Like, they have kids that want to be a musician, but they're not sure what that looks like. Like, that's a huge problem for parents that have kids that want to be musicians. Like, a lot of those parents, they don't know, they get scared of that. And a lot of what I do and what I kind of like champion is the idea that you don't have to be a struggling musician. There's a smart way to do things, and you don't have to just get out there and think, you know, and just mess around all the time. There's a way to, like, really focus and things that you need to do if you want to take it seriously.
Yeah.
And not make your parents, like, hate music, you know.
Hopefully. Sounds like you're helping a lot of people that you didn't expect that you would really resonate with.
For sure. And then people come up after the shows, they're like, you know, they bring their kids and their kids are like, oh, I was working on that drum thing you were talking about, or I was working on that guitar thing or a song, like, can you tell me about, you know, what should I do with this song or something? And that's like, that's the greatest compliment ever, you know. It's what it's all about.
Yeah, you know, it's the podcasting world is unique, and me, Mark, and Eamon all have different backgrounds, right? So we all have full-time jobs, as you know. And it's funny how you get into it just as like something fun to do, just to see how it goes. And then it just transpires. And then, you know, you're at your 120th episode. And then it just like, and then you get to have these awesome conversations with these people that sometimes you look up to. And you get to like make these connections. And then there's the flip side, right? So I never knew how to get a hold of an artist. Especially like an artist.
So tell me.
Like an artist that has like red tape and management and a PR. And we've been very blessed. You learn a lot about the industry. And it's a labor of love, honestly, because it's like I do the setting up of things. I do the social media stuff. Mark does everything else, and Eamon does all the other stuff that Mark doesn't do.
I just try to show up.
He's got a great team. I need a team.
Just getting him to show up is just – that's a task. It does take – like, it's a labor of love. It is not easy. And then the editing, I mean
– yeah.
And so, like, the fact that you're doing it –
yeah, it's the biggest barrier of entry. You know, like the editing for me is probably the first thing I will hand off to someone else when that becomes a possibility. So I try to make it so I don't have to edit as much as possible, just because there's so much time, you know, we're on the road, you record something, a lot of things are running guns. So like, you know, like that podcast with Mark, I had to do it right after sound check before the doors are opening. If you watch the video on YouTube, there's people, there's like fans coming in and like looking and like, you know, it's kind of part of the charm of the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's not like, it's not always ideal. So you have to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row, that you're like, okay, I need to be able to have this audio like this so I can just pop it in my computer and I can just put it in my software and make it easy and be able to, you know, that part for me has to be easy, because I just don't have the time to spend hours editing conversations. So, which I probably should have at some point. I've had some calls be like, you left that in.
And, yes,
you know, yeah, for sure.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry. You said it to me. You should be fine with everyone else. You know,
we've had some episodes where people have not said anything wrong or inappropriate. They may have released some information about a song that wasn't publicly known just yet, but was going to be. And they're like, "Hey, can you just like edit that out?" Or maybe who might be a stowaway.
On the
boat. So it's like, you guys, can we edit that out? And it's like, absolutely, we'll edit it out. Yeah. For a balcony suite, just kidding.
Yeah.
No, totally kidding. So Mark's probably gonna edit this out. So
No, probably not. We'll get one of those. You left that in?
You deserve it. It's great.
Yeah. So when you were before you started the podcast, like what research did you do? And this is good for anybody who is listening, in case they're on the cusp of wanting to start a podcast. What was one of the most beneficial things that you found while doing research?
That's a good question. So I would just start, you know, just like talk to your friend. Like, I think one of the first ones I recorded, I just had my phone on record in it was like in a bar in Brookline, Massachusetts, and just with one of my buddies. And I was like, yeah, well, this is what the podcast could be. He's like, yeah, Jesse, but it sounds like crap. So I like the idea of it being kind of a little more natural rather than, you know, any kind of like stuffy thing. But to get started, I think researching the platform that I was going to release on it, I use Podbean. So that's one that I use. I don't even know if it's like any better or worse than anything else. All I knew is that my cousin told me about Podbean and I went on there and then I was like, okay, that seems reasonable. And then I put it on there. I was like, oh, they distribute to iTunes and Spotify and all that. And that's the way that I can get it out. So that's what I ended up going with. So my biggest advice is just like, don't just keep talking about it or don't keep thinking about it. Just get some way to record yourself and just put something out. You're never going to know until you start doing it. So
great advice.
Yeah. Ready, shoot, aim.
So I wish it was that easy for me mentally.
It's hard.
When we first started, I would say our first 100 episodes, I would have literally every single question written down.
Yeah.
Because I was always so happy that an artist wanted to take time to come chat with us, or a fellow rock boater, and or just an artist who may not have been on the boat. And
sure.
And you don't want to ever waste anybody's time. And so it's like, and then over the years, just the feedback from the listeners that I run into, you know, they can clearly see the progression of when you had the list of questions and when you didn't.
You were able to, sometimes you'd be like, yes, and what's your favorite color?
Like, it was very generic. It was very, because I don't know, it was just like,
That can be good, though. You know, I think I started off a little too loose. You know, I was just like, I didn't have anything to talk about. I was like, let's just sit down, see what happens. And that's fun to a point, but the audience does not enjoy that.
Right.
So lately, honestly, like within the last couple of months, I've started to like write down questions and actually, like, I know, like, most of the people that I talk to, I have some kind of relationship with.
Yeah.
So it's not like starting from zero, but I do now write down questions, and the audience plays a role in actually, like, coming up with those questions too. So
nice.
Yeah.
So Carbon Leaf, for those that are listening, when, like, how did that relationship come to be with you and them?
Well, this is super appropriate. Let me ask you, can you hear the sound that's in the background right now?
That loud banging?
The loud banging? No.
I'm just kidding. No. I can't hear anything.
All right, cool. My wife is running my son a bath right now because he's been playing Super Smash Brothers and jumping up and down in the living room, and he's soaking wet with sweat.
Oh, that's awesome.
This kid, he can play, like, it doesn't matter that he's playing video games because he's exercising at the same exact time, because he just jumps up and he gets so excited. So I just wanted to make sure you couldn't hear her running the bath.
No, you're good.
All right, cool. So the reason why that is super appropriate for this is because I actually met the guys on the boat.
Okay.
So nice. I was playing with Stephen Kellogg. I can't remember the years. It was like, I want to say maybe 2014 or 2015 is when I started playing with him. And it was just, we were playing. It was around his tour to 40,
yeah.
Which was a big tour for him. Big live record. We did I think it was a double vinyl. It was a really big tour. It was super
fun. Got that vinyl. Amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. So he got a tour bus for the first time in a while, and it was a really exciting tour, and it was really, really fantastic. Our sound engineer was Doug Ross for that tour, who is and was Carbon Leaf's engineer. So part of that tour was on the Rock Boat. So we played on the boat, and that was my first time on the Rock Boat. So I ended up hanging out with Carter a bit, the guitar player in Carbon Leaf, and got to do a jam session with Brian Facchino, who had his thing going on. Brian was on the tour with Kellogg during that time, and kind of met a couple of the guys through that. And then also, you know, ultimately through Doug, kind of like, you know, making that relationship kind of happen. So that's how I met the guys. And then they were kind of going through, I think they were on a substitute drummer, a temporary drummer at the time on the boat, but I didn't really know who they were. So, you know, they just lost their drummer, Jason, at the time, who's an amazing drummer, great guy. And and then a few months later, I think, I don't know, could have been like a year, maybe 2 years later, that I got an email from Barry, and they wanted to get someone more consistent. And Steven was, you know, doing a lot of solo stuff and kind of reconnecting with Boots and, you know, doing some things like that. So it just kind of made sense at the time. Yeah. And then it just kind of spurred on from there. And it's been, I think this will be my 7th year in the band.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's been a really fun ride, and the guys are, I mean, they're unbelievable. They're great.
It's neat to hear how the boat has changed individuals' lives through mm-hmm. connection with music that aren't artists. And it's also, I think this might be one of the few episodes that we have somebody on who's an artist where it has now, you know, changed their life as well.
For sure. Yeah.
Meaning joining a band that, and the connection from the boat. And I'm sure there's other stories out there, but it's nice to be able to connect it on a different level.
Completely changed the trajectory of like my playing and what I was doing at the time, you know, which was fantastic. I mean, you know, I was, you have to be open to it. You have to be prepared for it when things and opportunities happen. But that was, I mean, that was a special, that first boat that I was on was a pretty special experience. I made, you know, there's so many people in bands that I met on that one trip that are like my best friends now. So the people that I would, you know, number one friends that I would call constantly and that I talk to constantly, which is, you know, like you said, testament to the boat.
What was your expectation going into the boat, and was it met with what you experienced, or was it like something completely different?
I had no idea what to experience. I really didn't. I was like, you know, I heard stories like Kellogg talked it up as like, you know, this is a big deal, pool deck. There's going to be like 1,000 people there, thousands of people there. It's going to be a big deal. Like this is really awesome. And I was like, okay, all right, you know, we'll see.
I got this.
So, and then you go on and you're playing like the first show that we did, I think was in Stardust. And, and what people don't like real, like, I mean, I'm sure in the audience you're experiencing it too, but when you're playing drums and you're like swaying when you're not used to that movement, it's really jarring. And I have to wear like the patch on the ear, like I get seasick. Okay. So not bad, but I do it as
not
a
Stephen Kellogg bad.
No, with like 16 bracelets and three stick-ons on his ears and stuff. No, he has a rough time, and there's a lot of people that do. I remember the bass player from Welsh in the Arms. He was in like the infirmary for most of the boat 1 year, and he had a really rough time. And I don't know. I've been okay for the most part, but some of those, like, you know.
I feel like if you get the drink package, it kind of all just goes away.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But down in the Stardust, that's probably where it's the most severe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have to agree with that for sure.
Is that the front bow? Is that the front bottom of the ship?
The very front. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It can be really, and then the backstage back there, you're like in the depths of the ship, you know, and it's like, it's not hallways, carpeted hallways. You feel like you're in, you know, you're on a Navy ship or something. You're going through steel doors and stuff.
Yes, yeah. I've seen it. I had to use the bathroom back there one time.
Yeah. And the doors like are really heavy. And
it's a great example, like a Navy ship. Yep, definitely.
Yeah. It's just like, it's very, that part is very bizarre. But as far as being on the boat and like being around all the people, like if you're in a band and people know who you are in the band, which when I played with Steven, I was like, no one knew who I was at all.
Right.
And now that I'm in Carbon Lee, been in Carbon Lee for years and traveled all around and all that stuff, and been on the boat a few times, I walk around and it's like, oh, Jesse, you know, taking pictures, signing stuff, which is super fun and great. Yeah. So it's like, if you want to go somewhere and you know, have your ego boosted for 5 days, that's where you want to be.
Yeah, no Sea Leaf fans, man.
Yeah.
They're the real deal.
They're fans.
No. Carbon Leaf fans are second to none, in my opinion. I mean, it's fantastic. Like, they're the best. They're the best. So,
what is going on? Carbon Leaf, you guys have a tour coming up?
Yeah, so we're in the middle of some kind of sporadic dates here. We're playing a bit more than we normally do around this time, kind of gearing up for our big fall tour. And I don't have permission to really say anything else about what's going to happen later.
But there's excitement right there.
Yeah, so but it's going to be a really fun year with some fun new stuff. I'll just say that. So
nothing like a good teaser.
That's really all I can say.
That's it. I'm at liberty to discuss.
It's something people have been waiting for literally years.
Okay.
So yeah.
All right, that's exciting. Good.
Yeah.
So touring, you know, what does tour life look like for you guys in the band when you guys go out? Do you guys have like a bus? Do you have like, how do you?
So we have the, we call it the White Whale, and it's a cross between a bus and an RV. So it's a huge, I don't even know the class of it, but it's a big Freightliner. It's the size of a tour bus. And then we have a big trailer on the back of it that holds so like 10,000 pounds of gear. At least we bring so much gear with us, it's unbelievable. But you know, it's all it's all part of the show, puts on a, yeah. make helps us put on a great show. But that bus is like home away from home, and there's bunks on it. We drive it ourselves.
Okay.
So everybody on board is like, you know, very conscious of, but we're all adults with families, so we're not like partying on the bus. It's just like, all right, I'm going to, like, I'm the first one to go to bed every night. So I just like, you know, it's very clean. It's very organized. And it's like Barry has his office seat that he uses, that's Barry's spot. And okay. Terry has his spot. And I just stay in my bunk most of the time, but it's just, it's great. Yeah. Either that or I've been doing a lot of driving during the day. So that makes it fun.
Kind of. So talking about driving. Yeah. We just drove down to, we were invited to cover Rock by the Sea.
And
they made us their official podcast. So we were recently down there. We did some awesome interviews before and some really amazing interviews down there with some artists, but we drove down, the three of us and Eamon's brother, Danny.
Yeah.
From Pennsylvania to Destin.
Man, that's a haul.
So I'm a big guy. Mark and Eamon are about, I'd say, average size. And Danny yeah. is a bigger than me. He's a big guy. And Danny secured a rental vehicle. He secured an SUV. And for those that are out there that are bigger people that are trying to secure an SUV, there is a clear difference between a crossover and an SUV.
There sure is. There sure is.
And the rental agency considers a crossover an SUV.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that was exciting.
You should see what they consider an SUV in Ireland.
Oh, wow.
We just put in the thing for our rental for my wife and I are going over in August. And I was like, let's get something a little bigger, you know, a little more comfortable. And she's like, this is an SUV. It's like a Ford Focus hatchback or something. It's like, what? Like, that's not an SUV. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's basically what we were in.
That's what it felt like.
And we stopped exactly three times for a total of 45 minutes.
Oh, man.
And then how long is that? Total trip was what, drive? Like 18 hours?
Damn.
Yeah, 18.
That's a long trip, man. That's a long trip to be in that little car.
It was, Eamon slept most of the time.
On the way down, I slept pretty much the whole time.
I mean, that's your best defense in that situation. It's your only defense.
I couldn't believe I was able to do it, but I was proud of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Your body probably just dissociated. You're just like, I'm out. I'm done. That's what I would have done.
Yeah. In my mind, I was telling myself, the best thing I could do right now is just try to keep sleeping. Yeah. Keep sleeping.
Yep.
And I did it.
Yeah,
that's tour. That's tour, man. You did it. That's tour. It's your best.
Sheesh, I'm ready for tour.
You're ready for tour.
If only I could play a damn instrument, right?
I know. Well, that's the easy part. The hard part is hanging out with a bunch of dudes in a band. That's the tough part.
See, I think that I could do. That I wouldn't have any problem doing.
Anything. All right.
Looks like you guys found yourself a bus driver.
Yeah, dude, that'd be awesome.
There it is.
He's ready to hop on your bus and sleep.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
He keeps the beds warm.
Yeah, what's your bus driver doing? He's sleeping again. He's just been here sleeping. Getting rest for that big drive he keeps talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
great.
What's up?
I wanted to talk a little bit about that very first single you talked about.
Yeah.
Chemical.
Sure.
So talk to us about the genesis of that. How long had you been thinking of putting out your own track?
Yeah. I mean, I've always been a songwriter, so I've always done it. And, it's always been a really important part of my life. To write music and play instruments and stuff. So it just, the pandemic and that crew of fans of the podcast and fans of Carbon Leaf just kind of encouraged me to keep playing my originals, because I would play my originals during my live streams and stuff. So they just, were super into it and I had the time and I have like a small studio here and I just ended up, you know, just like my advice for the podcast, I just started, you know, I just kept going. I demoed and we were between homes. Like we were living in a temporary, at like my aunt's house in Jamestown, Rhode Island, which is not shabby at all. I'm making it sound like I lived in a tent or something, but like it was a beautiful home in Jamestown that we were temporarily in for 2 years. And I basically used the dining room in that house as a drum studio and, you know, mic'd up guitars and stuff. And then I finished the vocals when we ended up moving to this house. And, yeah, it was just it was a really great process. I recorded, engineered, played all the instruments, mixed everything myself, with the exception of the piano and keys parts, which were done by Ty Bailey, who is currently on the road with Miski, who's a really cool like pop artist right now, and he was Joss Stone's musical director and played with Katy Perry for many years. And,
oh, nice.
You know, he's an incredible player. He was on the boat with the last time that Carbon Leaf was on the boat. He was playing keys with us.
Okay.
Yeah. So that whole experience of doing it and getting it mastered and kind of being the boss and, you know, making the decisions and having to live with them was a really interesting and great process. I learned a lot and I'm looking forward to doing it again, but not yet. I'm going to take a little time to get things a little more sorted out, and we have a big year for Carbon Leaf, so I'm going to wait till next year to release some more stuff.
It's exciting.
Yeah,
it's so great too that you're able to do that, like find time to do that and still be a parent and still go on tour. And
it's hard, man. Just a lot of late nights. The yeah. hours, a lot gets done between the hours of 9 and 2. 9 p.m. and 2 a.m. I'll tell you that, in the Humphrey household. A lot of work gets done in this general area. So, yeah, it's a lot, but it's something I love, so I have to do it.
Nice. So it sounds like, you know, as far as Carbon Leaf goes, you guys got some exciting things coming up. You got some tour dates coming up.
Yep.
Is it always like, yeah, you always see people, but is it different when you see people who travel from city? I'm assuming you guys have, you know, diehard fans that travel city to city to city to see you guys, as opposed to a fan who might just come out once, which, you know, each their own, but those are some special fans. And what is it like to see that dedication with fans and your all's music?
It's funny, man. Like you play a show and you're used to seeing the same few people up front and stuff like that. So like you develop a relationship with these fans that travel everywhere and you know, and you see them, you look forward to seeing them and they look forward to seeing you. And then you just look around like, who are all these other people? You know, like what are they all doing?
Why are you here?
Why are all these, how do these people know us? Because it's like, yeah, you have that level of fandom that, you know, the ones that will follow you all around or that like email you a lot, and the band and music is such a huge part of their lives, which is really special because, I mean, it's the same for us. So, right. You know, when you see that, it's just like it really keeps you going. You know, it keeps you like really engaged. You're like, all right, well, these people are paying money. They're coming out and they love you. You have to give them the show. Like don't mess around. Don't like not show up for them tonight because they're showing up for you. So it holds you to a higher standard. That's another thing. And it helps you like kind of want to get that with more of your fans, like have right. develop deeper relationships with those ones that just come out every now and then. And we're the ones that, you know, will email in like, oh, when are you playing Boise? It's like, well, we were there last week. You know, like that kind of thing could be a little frustrating, but, you know, the fans are the best. Like I said, you can't beat a Carbon Leaf fan. They're the best. So,
you know, it's always nice to see fellow. From our experience talking to artists, it's the Rock Boat community. You know, they like once, and that's like one of the other benefits too, right? Of going on the boat is like you forge this family that you never thought that you'd have.
For sure.
That supports artists day in and day out, up and down the coast, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, all throughout the country. And they show up and they don't let you forget.
No, my sister came on the boat the last time Carbon Leaf was on the boat, and she went on the boat by herself and just hung out and knew some of the Carbon Leaf fans that were going to be on there, and she ended up going on the next year's boat that we weren't on because she loved it so much, and she became, you know, people, she made so many friends, and she's a huge music fan. She wasn't just doing it just to come out, but she became a really big Carbon Leaf fan and just loved being a part of that whole thing. She just happens to be my sister. So it's like, I think that like to see that in particular was really special. Like how she just kind of went on there and just made all these friends and loved the music and had all these, you know, had opinions about things on the boat and like really, you know, it was great. It was really, really great to see. So I'm glad that she got that experience out of it.
I would have a true tough boater. Time doing that.
True boater, man.
Yes.
Going on alone?
I don't buy it.
I think I'd be fine. It's one of those things where it would be out of my comfort zone.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, but then I'm sure it would quickly become a few cocktails. You know, like for me, my first comfortable. Yeah. My first boat, I mean, I was on as an artist, but I didn't know anybody. So I was essentially alone. I roomed with the bass player in the band, with David Chowfant, Cookie Dough from Stephen Kellogg fame, and and I was essentially just out roaming the boat by myself every day, every night. Like I ended up at Headphone Disco every night, just like just in the middle, like yeah, just like an animal. But it was, you know, it was the best. That made the second boat so much better. You know, just kind of like getting out there and not just sitting in my room constantly, which I normally would have done if it was a hotel or something like that.
I feel like I could do well on the boat by myself if I had to.
Yeah.
Give me a couple cocktails.
Party animal. We're talking about the bar situation there and the drink.
Let's get it.
And yeah, everyone is just so welcoming in this family. You know, people will go up to you if they see you alone and it says it's your first boat.
For sure. Definitely. Definitely. I felt bad the last time Carbon Leaf was on because they had this big, like, 10-year... ceremony for Carbon Leaf and Red Wine and Blue, and I got a robe, and they gave me a robe. I'm like, there's gonna be some pissed off rock boaters.
You're just gonna have to make sure you get your 10 years in.
Okay? I know. I also got a track jacket on the same boat, and I think it was only like my third or fourth one, I can't remember, but I'm like, man, I'm really making out like a bandit on this one.
it's a heavy duty rope too, man.
Yeah, it seriously is. I had to put it in one of our road cases. I couldn't take it with me because I didn't have any room for it. So I think it's still living in a Carbon Leaf road case somewhere.
That's
somewhere
awesome.
Somewhere in Virginia.
Jesse. Speaking of family, we want to be respectful of your time.
Oh, no worries. This is great. I appreciate you guys having
me. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you and a little bit about After the Gig?
Sure. Yeah, so After the Gig, it's a community based around music and people that love it. And I share videos and stuff. And I started a weekly newsletter that I've been enjoying writing. So I'll send you guys a link to feature awesome. if that's something that you guys do. You can check out my single Chemical on anywhere you get music. That's been out since December 13th, and it was crazy. Like, I was expecting 50 people to listen to it or something like that, and then I think it's coming up on 14,000 nice. streams, which is bananas. It got on some kind of playlist or something, or somebody in Wichita just like put it on repeat just for like days in a row or something. So thank you, whoever you are. And Carbon Leaf coming out to a city near you. We're going to be in, if you give me a moment, I can bring it up on my my machine here. But we're going to be in Washington, D.C. at the Hamilton on the 1st of, I don't know when, if this even matters, whenever this is going to air. But later this month, we'll be in Richmond, Virginia, an outdoor show, Bethlehem, PA at the Steel Stacks. And then we'll be in Washington, D.C. at the Hamilton. And then that's it for a little bit. And then we have some shows in June. So you can go to carbonleaf.com to get tickets and check all that stuff out. And yeah, it's going to be a big year for Carbon Leaf. So if you're like not on the Carbon Leaf, you know, what bandwagon, and you're like, eh, I'm just not so sure about those guys, you might want to make this your year.
Love it.
For sure.
Love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Love the teaser.
Thank you so much, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so much fun, man. Looking forward to seeing you on a boat or out on the road.
I hope so. I hope so. That'd be great.
Take care, man. Thanks again.